Thank you, Adam. I was just sharing that joke with Adam, but I guess I'll share it with you too. I said I felt a little bit intimidated this evening since I'm not the only turkey up here. I have company. Yes, it's funny, some sermons come to you just out of the blue and you know exactly what you're going to say, and some don't. I typically, and most of you know this, I like to go wander around the woods and think and pray and look for that direction. Of course, part of it is I just take any excuse I can get to go wander around the woods, but which I had a lovely day yesterday wandering around the woods with my wife for a change. That was nice, and looking at leaves and changing colors, and it was just nice looking at wildlife. This evening I do have a very particular message that I feel the Lord had placed upon my heart, and hopefully I can share it with you. There's quite a bit of reading to be done, so I'm asking you, follow along with me, because you know I'm not that great a reader, but we'll get her done. The book of Nephi, chapter 12, it says, "Verily I say unto you, that ye are built upon my gospel, therefore ye shall call whatsoever thing ye do, call in my name. Wherefore, if you call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, and the Father will hear you. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his works in it. But if it be not built upon my gospel, and is built upon the works of men, or upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you, they have joy in their works for a season, but by and by the end cometh, and they shall be hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence there is no return. These are the works do follow them, for it is because of these works that they are hewn down. Wherefore, remember the things that I have told you. Behold, I give unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I come into the world to do the will of the Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I have been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me." Most of us are probably familiar with these verses of Scripture, kind of a snapshot, if you would, of the purpose of Christ, the purpose of us today. And this is kind of where I find us, not kind of, this is where I find us today. The gospel of Christ has been delivered to us. We have it. We recognize the frailness of men and the gospel taught of men. Hopefully we also recognize that Christ came that he might draw all men unto him. This is where you and I fall into this today, that we might be in the process, if you would, of being drawn unto him. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So this is really about 50% of what I want to talk about tonight. I feel like I'm talking to a group of people probably similar to what the Apostle Paul would have talked to in Corinthians, Galatians, these letters that he wrote back in his day. people who knew the gospel, who had heard the gospel, who it had been delivered unto them, but yet being human, being having frailties, needing to be reminded. You might remember what I talked about a couple weeks ago. Chris is shaking her head. Help us out, Chris.
The number of people that we need to contact in the world.
Yeah. How many was it, do you remember?
243,
I think it was. I don't feel like that this sermon is a continuation of that, but in order to accomplish that, in order for us to truly take the gospel to the world, a part of that I didn't really talk about, you know, is that the more people that got converted, the less you have to take it to. Because there's more out there doing it. So, you know, I think I based that number on 6,000. So once the day hit that there was 12,000, we only have to take half that many if everybody else was doing their job. But I really feel like that you and I in this day are in a battle, in a battle that's spiritual. It bumps into our physical being, no doubt, but it's spiritual. And throughout the world, and as I look at the politics of our day, I look at the diverse, no matter which side of the fence you're on, the diverse opinions of people, and I don't think there's just two sides of the fence, there's multiple sides of the fence. It's a battle that's spiritual. It's a battle for right and wrong. It's a battle that is calling us to stand up for what we believe in. To be heard. Not just accept whatever happens to come down the way. You know, I watched a training video. We get training videos at work all the time. It pops up on my computer and says, you've been assigned a training video. And if I don't watch it in a week or so, it pops up again and says, you're late on your training video. If I don't watch it in a month or so, they're like every day popping up there saying, you got to watch this training video. And the training video was on harassment. And the one thing I learned out of the training video was that I'm a protected class. I'm over 40 years old. I can't be discriminated against. Obviously, that was very little of that video. Most of the video was about other things. And I'm not saying it was bad. You know, obviously we shouldn't be picking on people at work in any way. And it's important for guys like myself to be reminded of those things sometimes. But my thought is that we're constantly being bombarded by something that the world is telling us we need to change the way we think, that we need to change the way that we're treating one another, or that we need to accept. And I think that we have, I know that we have a master plan when it comes to accepting things. The master plan is God's law, God's word. So let's continue on here. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. This physical flesh and the things I do in this flesh are not going to inherit the kingdom. It's the spirit that lives within us. And I'm hoping I can paint a picture for you this evening. I better hurry up. So, in verse 54, it says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death was swallowed up in victory. Okay? Like it or not, the day is coming that we're going to lay this physical flesh down. We're going to lay it down, and we're going to take up a spiritual being. We're just only going to be spiritual. Whether that's good or bad, it's only going to be spiritual. Whether you've prepared yourself or you haven't. So my question for you, and I thought about this during this pandemic and during people rushing out and buying cases and cases of toilet paper. What is it that we're concerned about? Is it death? Do we really fear death? Should a believer fear death? I'm going to say no. Hopefully you've spent your entire life, whether you're 17 years old or 70 years old, preparing to stand before your Creator. And at some point, we ought to be ready to get in line. To get in line. We've all probably known someone that was quite elderly and they'd say to you, "I don't know why I'm still here. I just want to go on." Sounds like we're ready. We're ready. So the question is, if you and I are ready to stand before the Lord, what do we fear? We should fear nothing. We'll live in the Spirit. Verse 55 in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" The sting of death is sin. So if we're not walking in sin, we shouldn't fear death. And the strength of sin is the law. We'll be held accountable. "But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in good works, abounding in works of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The things we do are not in vain. If you're living a life that is for Jesus Christ, it's not in vain. Even though some days it may seem like it is, it's like, why am I doing this? I'm the only one doing this. I'm the only one trying to do the right thing. It's not in vain. The Lord said it's not in vain. Here the Apostle Paul says it's not in vain. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." These verses I'm reading are what? What's the purpose of what the Apostle Paul was speaking to the people in his day, much like you and I? He's saying, listen, we have one that is more powerful than we are. What are you afraid of? We have one that is able to overcome anything that comes in our life. Does that mean I'm never going to have a backache again? I have a backache every day of my life. Oh well, I'm looking for the day I get a new body. It's going to pass quickly. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. But we are able to overcome this spiritual battle. Your battle might be different than mine. This morning I sat back here and I listened to all the prayer needs. A bunch of them. I listened to difficulties and struggles. Common to mankind. Common to mankind. Sometimes I feel a little bit bad. Because I get up every morning, look myself in the mirror and say, God is good. He is good. No matter how bad my life gets, he's good. I hope I can always remember that. God is good. I live a blessed life. I feel free to do whatever I need to do, to go wherever I need to go. I feel free. And that freedom comes in and through the power that comes through Jesus Christ. Not through me. I look at my arms. Yeah, I look at my arms earlier and I thought, man, where did that muscle tone go? It got away. It must have left during the night. I look at my hands, especially my fingers, and think, look at my dad's hands. Getting little knots and bumps and crooked. How all of a sudden I get my dad's hands? It doesn't matter. That's not what it's about. The weaker this physical body gets, the stronger the spirit can be. Doesn't have to work that way, it seems to. The Apostle Paul tried to make it clear. These next few verses we're all very familiar with. And I wasn't going to read them all, and I went back and went back, and I said, I'm going to read them all. Because I wonder if we truly put them to work. We teach them to our little kids. We build cute little things. I was going to bring my sword because I'm always looking for an opportunity to bring my sword out. But no, not this time. I'm going to reread the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That is what we're talking about. That's what in a nutshell. That's what this little 45-minute talk is about. Are you armed up and ready to stand against the wiles of the devil? Have you put the Word of God to work in your life? Do you believe it? Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, just before I came over here, I got a text. I got these cameras, these funky cameras on my job site. They're cameras, four directions. Somebody jumped the fence. And so they called me. Hey, you want us to send the police over there? Sure. So pretty soon I get another text. Picture of a pickup truck, Salt River Indian Police, on my site. I haven't got the text to see how the story ends, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That police officer is probably going to show up out there and say, yeah, I don't see the guy. He's going to call his buddy, a canine guy that I talked to the other day. They'll bring a dog over there and run around 25 acres looking for some poor guy that's already jumped the fence and took off another direction. But you and I, for the most part, don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Unless you happen to be a police officer, you're probably not getting in a fist fight most days. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're wrestling against. If you happen to be a guy like I work with, who watches the news constantly, is on his little blogs about politics, every day he comes in cranked up about something different. You know, the liberals, the conservatives, this guy, that guy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, I was reading, I don't remember where it was at, I was actually listening in the Old Testament the other day. And there was that verse of scripture that talked about, you know, God sets leaders, kings in place. He normally doesn't check with me. But he's got a plan. So, you know, we're going to go to the polls here in a couple of days, and sadly to say, in the most modern country in the world, we have no one to choose for president. You know, the best we can do is the two guys that are running. I don't need to say any more than that. But one of those two guys, I'm assuming, is going to become the next president. And we may not like the outcome. It's okay. We may not like what they do for the next 4 years. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Spiritual wickedness in high places. All we can do is walk righteously. Focus our heart and mind on serving the Lord. And what? One day, one of us is going to have the opportunity. Stand before the president. Stand before the vice president. Tell him what's right and what's wrong. Might not listen, but the Lord, I believe the Lord will give us that opportunity. Verse 13, same chapter 6. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. Every generation of people have felt like they had lived in some portion of their lifetime an evil day. Some of us feel like we live in an evil day. I'm here to tell you that in this day of the United States, there's a lot of good folks out there. A lot of God-fearing, believing people. Don't believe exactly how I do. And I believe that the restored gospel of Jesus Christ is God's gospel on earth, period. Nobody else, okay? But they make everybody else bad guys. It just means they don't know the gospel. And some of them, the gospel they believe in, they live quite well. They do quite well. So you can think if we live in an evil day or not, I'm not sure. But there's certainly plenty of evil to go around. All you got to do is look around. There's an important part of this verse, I believe, that fits every person in this room. That fits into some of the concerns, some of the prayer needs that we heard this morning. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. He didn't say, having done all to stand where you fell. You may not make it. No. We believe in a God that can empower us to overcome our own fears, our own sins. The thing that so easily besets me on a daily basis, God can give me the strength to overcome. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And I thought, man, this is light bulb came on in my brain that said, you know, isn't that what we need? Isn't that where we struggle? We feel like we're out there on the street. Our feet are shod. We got our sword. We got the word of God right here. I forgot my shield at home. The darts are getting me. On a daily basis, someone's flinging darts at me and they're just hitting me. The Lord has given us the tools to be successful in our spiritual battle, in our spiritual walk. Take the shield of faith. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have what we need. We have what we need. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We've got to pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. Excuse me. I'm going to continue to move fairly quickly. John chapter 3, verse 6. This is kind of the other half of what I want to talk about. We've been given the tools that the Lord knows that we need as human beings. We can be successful. But we're really called to do a little more than that. John chapter 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Every one of us in this room, we are born of the flesh. We've got physical skin. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And of course, we know this is where the Lord was speaking to Nicodemus about baptism. But he's trying to explain something to him. There has to be a change in you and my life. These young men here on the front row, for that young man, two of them over there, that are not quite as young as they used to be, still a lot of decisions to be made. A lot of decisions in life to be made. Where to go, what to do, where to live. Do I go back to school or do I just keep working? Some days I wake up and think, gee, I think I'll go back to school. And I say, gee, why would I do that? You know, it's crazy. I wouldn't mind doing it, to be honest with you, but it's just crazy at this point in my life. These things cannot be accomplished. They can be, but the right decision will not be accomplished without the leading of the Spirit. You're not going to overcome the things that so easily beset you without the leading of the Spirit. I don't believe you can be prepared to stand before the judgment bar of God without having the indwelling of the Spirit in your life. Doesn't mean everything that comes out of your mouth, every thought that pops into your head, was put there by God. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. Brother Dwayne had a testimony about, you know, the Lord doesn't always speak to us the same way. Sometimes it's very clear. I'll be honest with you. I've never had a spiritual dream. Not one. But I certainly know that the Lord has led me. I certainly know the Lord has spoke to me in the way that He knows I can hear. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. For the wind bloweth, and whither it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come or whether it goes. You know, I like being up at the ranch because I hear the wind up in the pine trees. We're down the bottom of that canyon. A lot of times I'm thinking, man, it's really windy. I step outside, it's not windy at all. But it's up in the top of the trees, up on a ridge. But you hear it. I don't know where it come from. I don't know where it went. But does it just keep going? A couple of years later, it comes back around the earth and it's there again. I don't know where it went. You know? So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God does what it wants to. It's not beholden to us. We're not going to tell God what to do. Or when to come and lead me, and not today, but maybe tomorrow. You know, we have to be listening. We have to be aware. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the truth of true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. This is a whole new subject, really, and I want to just touch on it. When we come here, we came here this morning. Hopefully everybody came here knowing that they were going to partake of the sacrament today. Hopefully you came here prepared to partake of the sacrament, thinking upon that. You know, there's churches, these big churches out here, mega churches, whatever, and they have a worship hour, which mainly means there's a band up front singing and hooting and hollering or whatever. But I'm saying to you and I, what does that mean to you? To worship in truth? Do you come wanting something? Is it about me? Lord, I need this. I need a new job. I need a new house. I need a new car. Or is it truly coming to give honor and glory and praise to the Lord? What's the state? We're talking about a state of heart. You got to answer it for yourself. I have a hard enough time answering it for myself. But where do we come? And what's our attitude? What's our desire? Are we just here because our mom and dad expects us to be here? My wife expects me to show up here, so I show up here? Why? Think about it. Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay? It's not about me. It has to be about Him. We come to partake of the emblems, one of our most holy services. Do we come having spent the last hour watching TV, playing on our phone, arguing with the wife? How do we prepare? And what is our expectation? My expectation is that the Lord will speak to us. Whatever that means, however that means. If that's through a testimony, is that through a spiritual gift? It's up to Him. But if we don't come prepared, ain't happening. Because He is activated by the Spirit that's within us. And if that spirit is selfishness, if that spirit is self-centeredness, if that spirit is, gee, I can't wait for this to be over, which some of you may be thinking right now, then it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. We have to focus more upon Him and ourselves. We live in a time of total distraction. Total distraction. I worked with a gentleman, college educated, project manager, smart guy, good at his job, got the numbers all lined up. We have meetings every week with the owner, with the architect. Sometimes these meetings run an hour, hour and a half. He's running the meeting. It's on the computer. It's up on the big screen. What's he doing during the meeting? Sitting on his phone. I thought, well, man, he must be texting somebody asking the question. I just kind of sneak over there and look behind his shoulder. Well, he's playing a game on his phone. He's playing a game on his phone while he's running the meeting in a multi-million dollar project. And I'm thinking, man, are we distracted? He does a good job at it. I guess he can do two things at once. I don't know. But am I any different? Someone's trying to talk to me, and I'm trying to think about something else. I'm preparing to come to church, and my mind's a hundred different directions, like it was on the way over here today. Chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. This physical flesh profiteth nothing. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank when you die. Your kids are just going to spend it anyway. You know, I went to a yard sale the other day, up in Sawyer Valley, actually, and I thought, God, I've been having it for 4 weekends. And my first thought was, man, I wish I'd been here 4 weekends ago. His dad had passed away. His dad rebuilt old tractors. You know, just something I'm really interested in. But it just proved to me exactly what I've told my sons and my wife. Everything I own is one generation away from the yard sale. My stuff is going out the door. I'm down, my temperature will even be down to zero. And the yard sale sign will be in the front yard. Okay, because my treasures aren't someone else's treasures. So I'm okay with that. I've told my sons, I don't expect you to like the things I like. But when you think about it, the flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. I worked with a guy, he looked like he was about 25, he was 45. This ripped with muscles everywhere. Ate 4 meals a day. Exact protein, some of the stuff looked like dog food. Smelled like it too. It was horrible. We were munching it down. Lift weights every day of his life. He was a bodybuilder, you know, competition body guy. Great guy, by the way. The flesh profiteth nothing. So what am I getting to here? The Spirit, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. What does the word quickeneth mean? Make alive. Give life. That's the Hebrew. To give life. So can we draw a conclusion then that spiritually, without the Spirit of God in us, we're not alive. We're just wandering through life, bumping into stuff, trying to do the right thing because we know that's what we should do. But what gives us fire in our eye, fire in our heart, a desire? You know, project I'm on, some of the guys ask me, well, I know it's a big project and it's really tiring, you work a lot of hours. And I say, I love it. I love it. I'm energized by it. Okay? It's not my life. It takes up a big chunk of it right now in my life, but it's not my life. I know that this too shall pass. But what about the gospel? Do we look at it? Or somebody, you talk to somebody, hey, do you go to church? I don't go to church. Where do you go to church? I go to Church of Christ. Are you excited to tell someone, I go to a church that they believe God can empower us to overcome ourselves and those around us? Are you excited? Or is it just another burden? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you encouraged in the face of discouragement? I hope so. Times like this and times in the future, when things get dark and weary, guess who should be shining so bright? You got to wear a pair of sunglasses. You and I. Because we have a greater hope. Because we have a knowledge of the fullness of the gospel, which leads men to salvation. Do you believe it? I don't want to imagine that. Well, here's a scripture. It's in chapter 8, verse 2. I just don't know where at. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life is Jesus Christ, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Obviously, in the Apostle Paul's writings. Do you feel free? I hope so. Do you feel free? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do we walk after the Spirit? Do people see it in your life? Is it the most important thing? Or is it just something to do on a Sunday evening at 7:45? Verse 4, still, chapter 8, Romans. That must be where we were, huh? Yep, sorry about that. For the righteousness of the law was fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, that's a repeat, but after the Spirit. You and I have to walk after the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. I'm going to talk about that for a second. I don't want to go too far fetched on it. How important is it to be pretty? To be handsome? To be in good shape? I read a book, listened to a book the other day. It's about health. And the guy in it made the comment several times. Oh, it's just so good for people to say, man, you're looking great. It is nice to hear someone say that. But it's not the most important thing. Do you mind the things of the flesh, or do you mind the things of the Spirit? Is it important that we're pretty? Is it important that we have the right shoes and the right clothes, drive the right car? Those are all things of the flesh. But the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, listen, stop there though, and peace. In this day and age, isn't that what people are looking for? Peace? Calm? In chaos, calm in the troubles of life, to be spiritually minded brings peace. And I hope that we're beginning to see a picture, especially out of Paul's writings here, that over and over again, that freedom, that peace, that comfort comes in and through and by walking after the Spirit. Living after the Spirit, seeking to do God's word, to do his will. Let me read that one. Oh, okay. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. If we're carnally minded, we're saying, I don't care about what God's law says, I want to do what I want to do. Verse 8, so then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We can't please God if we're just doing whatever feels good. Verse 9, but ye, okay, like I said earlier, who is Paul talking to? He's talking to you and I. He's talking to a group of people just like you and I. This fits us today perfectly, but ye are not after the flesh. Why not? to you believers. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man among you have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? I hope so. Does he motivate you? Does he lead you to do certain things? Just simple things sometimes? I heard a brother Jay up here this morning talking. I didn't quite catch everything he said because I'm hard of hearing. But he said something about a small thing about passing a napkin or something. And, some of the things that used to frustrate me and irritate me the most don't irritate me wrong anymore. Because when I'm having trouble, I'm laying on the ground, I'm trying to get a nut started way up high in the engine of a car, and I can't get it started. Man, I used to be upset, try the other hand, turn around, try the other hand, get a wrench, get on top. I just say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? You left the washer off, dummy. Oh, okay. That easy. Over and over again. Something that simple. But the Lord uses something physical to just tap on our shoulder spiritually. One time I was feeling sorry for myself. I was driving down the road. I worked all day. This was back when Andrew was in college. And he and I would go at night and we'd remodel offices and paint offices and change flooring and all kinds of stuff. So I had my normal job during the day. I worked 10, 11 hours at, 12 hours at. Then we'd run across town to Mesa, and we had these office buildings that we kept up. We worked another 2 or 3 hours, and then went home and jump in bed and go do it again the next day. And so I'm driving across town thinking, poor me. And the Lord just ever so gently said, you ought to be thankful to shut up and get to work. And just like that, I no longer felt sorry for myself. Because at the time, Andrew was going to school, we needed money to pay for college, and it was there. And shortly after he stopped going to school, guess what? The work wasn't there anymore. Company changed hands, and it just wasn't there anymore. And that was all right with me, too. So sometimes we think we're in a bad way, or we're struggling in life. And if we look at it through the eyes of the Spirit, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. If we look at it through what is God trying to accomplish with me today, a lesson, a gentle tap to say I'm here. But if we just allow ourselves to continue in the flesh, frustrated, angry, we miss it. We miss it. We miss out on God's blessing. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We're still expected to live righteously, but it is because of the Spirit of God, not because we're better than somebody else, but the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. And he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Are we getting the picture? We have to have God's Spirit dwelling in us. And when it does, all kinds of things in our life that used to bother us no longer bother us. Things we used to be afraid of, we're no longer afraid of. The fear that comes upon mankind, death, it's not a big deal. It's part of it. It's all good. Let's look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say unto them, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This carnal man, I'm walking down the street, driving down the street in my 20-some-year-old truck. A beautiful brand new truck pulls up next to me.
Oh, that's nice. Am I lusting after something physical? My truck's still getting me where I'm going. Doesn't look real pretty, but it's getting me where I'm going. And so if we walk in the Spirit, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm happy for someone to get a new truck. I'm okay with it. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Those two things are in opposition to each other. This carnal man wants to lead you down the wrong path. The desires of your heart as a human being typically is wrong. But God's Spirit can make it right. Can make you right. Against the flesh, there in verse 17. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things you would. And here Apostle Paul is big on this, you know, saying, well, the things I'd like to do, I don't do, the things I should do, I didn't do. That's me. That's who I am. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, then you are not under the law. Why not? Because you're doing the right thing. You're not going to be held accountable come judgment day. You're going to be held accountable, but it's going to be accountable for doing the right thing. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and the whole longer list of them. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, heresy, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the such like. I don't know what the such like is, but it's along those lines. Of which I tell you before, and I have also told you in the past. And this is the next part that's important. Those things are of the flesh. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're not going to get the kingdom if we're living in the flesh. It's just that simple. If you're walking after desires on your own heart, if you think it somehow in your own mind, hey, the Lord wants me to be happy, I'm justified in this. You're lying to yourself. He didn't make a special deal with you. He just didn't. It's the same for all mankind. You got to repent, humble yourself, and come unto Him, and He'll lift you up. When you walk in the Spirit and He's leading you, you're not seeking after those things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's just opposites, two opposites, aren't there? And as we face struggles in life, I'm going to tell a little, not secret, but a negative on myself. I spent about a week and a half getting a crane plan ready. I may have told some of you this before. I'm walking on the second floor the other day, and there's no walls on the building. There's no couch out of nowhere. It's just a handrail, you know, so you don't fall overboard. And I see this bundle of, big, tall bundle of material being flown to the roof by a crane. And as I watch it go by, I was livid. They're using something they're not supposed to be using. I told them they could not use that. It's not safe. It's just homemade little brackets. You don't do that when you're lifting stuff with a crane. And I spent all this time defining exactly what they could do. I went over the edge of the thing, and I started yelling at the guy, and I told the crane guy, shut the crane down. So, come down. We all go down the ground, have a little powwow, and got it straightened out, you know. But just for that few minutes between the time that I was on the second floor and it took me down to the first floor, I had to cool off a little bit, I was just upset, which I don't like doing that. And the guy that was with me, I only worked with a couple of months. Of course, he'd never seen me upset like that before. You know, he's like, whoa, you know. But it's human nature. That's who we are. And we always fight against it. We just got to fight against it. And the roofer, I started yelling at the roofer when he came down there. I thought, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be yelling at you. Okay, you're doing what's wrong, but I shouldn't be yelling at you. That's not the right way to deal with it. And so we all went down, figured out what the right thing to do was, and moved on. But it's a constant battle of the flesh against the spirit. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. We've killed off the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Is that us? Or do we all just live here at the nice little 29th Street Church in perfect harmony? No, we don't, do we? Because we're human. And we're in the fight. We're in the battle. And hopefully when we find ourselves doing the wrong thing, we humbly and meekly go to our brother and say so. Hey, sorry. But the desire has to be in our heart. The desire to have God's Spirit rule and overrule in us. It's not about me. It's not that I'm of a higher position or I got better shoes than you do. It just can't be. We have to live in the Spirit. Moroni, chapter 10, verse 29. You come unto Christ and be perfect in Him, and deny yourself all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourself all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you. How about you? But that's what I want. I want His grace to be sufficient for me. Meaning that His grace is going to cover the things I just didn't quite get accomplished. His grace is going to see you and fill in the rough spots of this old man. We have to live humbly before Him. But by His grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, can in no wise deny the power of God. We have to recognize that without Him, we're that carnal guy who's not going to get the job done. With Him, we can be successful in everything, in every spiritual endeavor, everything we try to overcome. Every time we repent with a pure heart and a pure desire, He's going to be there. We believe in a living God. Sometimes I wonder if we really believe that. We really believe that the God of the Scriptures, the God of the Book of Mormon, that was active in the life of His children. Do we believe in that? Or is it just some far-off being? Invite that Spirit of God in your life. Kick all the garbage out of your life so that Spirit feels comfortable about dwelling there. And you go places and do things you never dreamed you could. Next verse. And again, if ye by the grace of God be perfect in Christ and deny not His power, then ye shall be sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father. We came here this morning, took a little piece of bread, took a cup of wine. I hope you feel full effect of that. That is the covenant of the Father. He gave His Son, lifted Him up on the cross, that He might draw all men unto Him. Are you being drawn? He's seeking to draw you, young and old. He's seeking to draw you. Are you drawable? Can He be you? Can you soften your heart? Can you open your mind to the leading of His Spirit? I'm going to start over. I forgot where I was at. And again, by the grace of God, you'll be perfect in Christ and deny not His power, then are you sanctified by God, sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that by that you become holy without spot. I hope that's where we're headed. Sometimes it's easier to know how to get somewhere if you know where you're headed. If I pull out here on Union Hills and think, I'm going to go to Tennessee. Is Tennessee on this side of Texas or the other? Is it north of Missouri or south? It's hard to get somewhere if you don't know where you're going. And I hope that for each of us in this room, we can visualize exactly where we're headed spiritually. Right there. Holy without spot. Not by our own merit, but in and through and by the grace of God. By being willing to submit to His holy will. Being led of His Spirit. And now I bid you farewell. I soon go to rest in the paradise of God until my spirit and body shall again reunite and I am brought forth triumphant through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both the quick and the dead. Amen. You think Moroni had a clear vision? I think he did. You think he was fearful of death? I don't think so. He was looking forward to the day when you and I would stand with him before the judgment bar of God. Triumphant. Triumphant. Do you feel like you're on a course of triumphant? Do you feel like you're overcoming? Or are you barely getting by? I hope not. I hope you recognize and you have and believe in a God that is more than able to overcome you and your weaknesses. I might get in trouble for the next slide, which I'm not going to show up very long. This is my lovely wife in the woods by some leaves that are changing. I just want to make comment. That fence there was around four graves. Those individuals were born in 18-something or another, and most of them died in the early part of the 19th century. All the same family, Baca family, that's over by the old Baca ranch. And I couldn't help but sit there, and I've seen this many times in my life. I've been by this spot. And as I sat there with Deb and looked over the fence and we read the things, as I do each time I go there, why, I don't know. But I'm always amazed, I guess, that, you know, this person died in 1945, this one died in 1930-something, you know. I'm like, wow, it's been a while. Come or not. Come onto the earth. No road there, I'm sure, when they first showed up there. A couple old apple trees out in the field over there still. Not dead, but they're still there. No house, no nothing. But they came, they lived, they died. They moved on. And if we can look at this life in that light, we're here for a moment. The question is, were we good caretakers of the beautiful possession that we've been given, called the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we excited to reach a world of darkness with the light that brings what? Money? No. Peace, harmony, joy, happiness, without any physical thing. We too shall be looking up at the bottom of one of these gravestones one of these days. You know, there's a time or two I've cruised by where my mom and dad are buried. They were here one time, now they're gone. It's a way of life. Are you prepared to stand before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah? Look over and see Moroni standing there. And wait to hear what the Lord's got to say. Because if you are, you can live in this life without fear. You can press forward, being led of the Spirit. And you can seek with every fiber of your being to fulfill God's will in your life. Thank you.